You are listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you will be blessed with the teaching of God's Word. For more sermons, visit sunlife.org.au.
So good, so good. My name is Bin, and I'm the senior pastor at Sun Life Church. If we haven't met, welcome to our church. For those joining us online, it's great to have you. We look forward to seeing you here physically when you're ready. Church is really growing. As I look down, I'm realizing there's so many people that I have never met before, and I want to encourage regular Sunlifers. We're called Sunlifers here, regular Sunlifers, to ask God for the grace and the courage to be, I guess, a bit of an extrovert, to introduce yourself to people. Say, hey, we've never met before, I'm so-and-so, and get to know one another. I think as the church gets bigger and as we begin to move to a second service, what's going to happen is that you're not going to know people unless you belong into a small group. We believe that church is not about Sunday, church is the people of God, and that we do life in small group ministry. So there are plenty of small groups out there. Find a group to belong to. Find a group so that you can really be encouraged to read the Bible together, to have someone pray for you, to really question the really sticky topics in the Bible, to have someone keep you accountable. There's groups for youth, for young adults, for those in the adults community. Please find a group and let's just really grow in this journey of faith. Amen. Now this morning here, I'm going to continue on the topic of the Holy Spirit. Pastor Dexter did an amazing job last week. Give him a round of applause. How do I know? Well, I'm preaching away and I'm checking on the social media and I'm just hearing him preach. I'm like, wow, it's amazing. And we're so blessed that God has been so kind to give us such a great communicator. Keep loving the Lord. Keep trusting Him. Keep praying. And God will use you to do mighty things here. Now this morning here is a very controversial topic. And it's going to be a bit deep, a bit thick, and a bit heavy. And I want you to listen carefully, all right? It's like riding a bike up a hill. It's tough, but once you get to the very top of the hill, you get to go downhill. And it's going to be amazing. Have you ever been in a situation where someone came to you and said, hey, sister, hey, brother, have you been baptized with the Holy Ghost? Do you speak in tongues? Have you received the second blessings? I mean, are you one of those Holy Ghost-led, tongue-speaking, born-again Christian? Have you been asked those questions before? I mean, if you're a new Christian, that can be a bit confusing. If you're not even a Christian and you're trying to figure out this whole Christianity thing, and someone asks you about some Holy Ghost baptizing you, speaking in tongues, it can be very confusing. I mean, you might be thinking, well, wait a minute, I am a Christian. I was baptized last year. I mean, Pastor Bin baptized me. It was in water. It wasn't in the Holy Spirit. Tongues, what is that? Next question, please. You've been there before? So what I want to do this morning here is I want to address the topic of baptism with the Holy Spirit and also filling with the Holy Spirit. I want to give you some perspective and some context and what it means to be a reformed charismatic church. So I need you to listen up. I need you to open up your church app because there are some passages, some parts where you can actually fill in the blanks and also write your own notes. And I want you to listen to what I have to preach and maybe also go back this week and just watch this sermon again and then maybe even ask me questions in the coming weeks because it can get a bit deep and heavy and thick. So I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask God to keep us awake. I'm going to ask God to give me the ability to communicate this well. Can we do that? Let's pray. Oh God, I just pray now that you would help me to communicate your word with clarity. I do pray that you would help me to really speak in a way where it's not confusing and it's not too complicated, but it's life-giving, and that we can be encouraged to live a life filled with your Spirit, baptized with your amazing Spirit. Will you do that miracle right now to open our eyes and our ears to hear from you? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, are we ready? Are we good to go? A baptism with the Holy Spirit. There are many views out there. There are many views, but I want to give you two main views. Listen carefully. I want to give you the Pentecostal charismatic view. Ooh, come on. And I'm going to give you the Reformed evangelical view. Now, we're Reformed charismatic, so where are we? Think about that. Think about that. I'm going to give you the Pentecostal charismatic view. the Reform evangelical view, and you're thinking, well, wait a minute, we're a bit of both. So where have we, Pastor, been? Well, let's find out. You see, the word baptism is the Greek word baptizo, and in the Greek, that word simply means to be submerged, completely covered, you know, immersion. I like the word dunked, you know, when you're completely covered with something or an agent. For us as Christians, when we think of baptism, we think of water baptism. Is that right? That's when you're baptized and fully submerged underwater. We're going to have a baptism service soon. If you haven't been baptized before, I want you to be baptized. Because it's a public declaration that you, what, love God. All right, it's like, yeah, I love Jesus and I want the whole world to love Jesus. I mean, I love my wife, Tran, and I wear this wedding band just to say, ladies, I'm taken, you know what I mean? It's a public declaration, yeah? All right, so when we're in the water, and usually what happens is that if the pastor likes you, he keeps you in the water for 5 seconds, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, okay, get up now. If the pastor doesn't like you, maybe more than 5 seconds, repent. Come on, you wicked. You know, no, we don't do that. That's a joke. That's a joke. The principle with spirit baptism is the same. It's the same. You are covered, you are submerged, right? Fully dunked, right? Young people like that one, right? With an agent, and the agent is the Holy Spirit. So theologically, we don't say this, listen carefully, we don't say a baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you tend to say that, maybe just change your speech. It's more baptism with the Holy Spirit. Or baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's sort of a difference. Because when you say baptism of, you're implying that the Holy Spirit is the one who baptizes. And theologically, listen carefully, Jesus is the one who promises the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the one who sends the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is the one who baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is not the baptizer. The Son is the baptizer. The agent is the Holy Spirit. So that's something, you know, if you want to get a bit technical, when someone says, you know what, I've been baptized of the Holy Spirit, you don't have to correct them. But you know, deep down, theologically, it is baptism with or in. Because the Greek word is the word end, is the preposition, better translated with or in and not of. All right, so that's just something that we need to understand theologically. So, in Mark chapter 1, verse 8, go there with me. We notice it's very, very clear, all right? Look what Jesus, right, John the Baptist would say. He says, I, that's John the Baptist, right, have baptized you, that's the people, with what? With water. And he says what? But he here is Jesus, he's coming, the prediction that he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. You see that? He doesn't say, oh, I baptize you with water and the Holy Spirit will baptize you. No. Jesus is the baptizer. You kind of get that? All right. So when we are baptized with the Holy Spirit, theologically, the Son, that's Jesus, he covers us, he submerged us with the Holy Spirit. We're completely covered with the Holy Spirit. So good Bible people would say, well, then, Pastor Ben, where do we see this phrase, baptism with or in the Holy Spirit in the Bible? You've got to always ask yourself the question, because the Bible has to be the Word of God. Now, let's play a bit of a game. Okay, think about this carefully. If you think there is more than 10 times in the Bible, you can put both hands up. Or B, if you think there's only less than 10 times, put one hand up. Okay? Think about it. If you think there's more than 10 occurrences of the phrase baptism in the Spirit, both hands. If you think there's less, only one hand. Ready? 1, 2, 3, go. Okay. I like that. I see some of this. I see this, and I see the... Yeah. That's fine. That's fine. Okay. It's a bit hostile here. It's okay. It's all right. Seven times. It's a seven times, and there have been huge debates, and church have divided. Like I said right now, in the early days of Sun Life Church, I had people who left this church because they didn't agree with my views. And I'm like, oh no, come on. This is not that crucial. But seven times in the Bible. Four times in the Gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. So in other words, four times in the Gospel in which it's the same event where John the Baptist says to the people, I baptize in water, and the one to come, Jesus baptized with the Holy Spirit. We see that in the Bible right here. Matthew 3, we see that. We see that in Mark 1, we see in Luke 3, and also John 1. It's the same occurrence. So that's four times. There's only three more times left, right? Two times in the book of Acts. Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 1, chapter 11. Look at this. Look at chapter 1, verse 5. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Very similar to the gospel account. That's number 5. Here's number 6. Acts chapter 11, verse 16. Then I remember the I here is Peter. Peter, if you remember in Acts 11, it's with the Samaritans. I remember what the Lord has said. John baptized with water and you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So that's 6 times. All right. And they're very, very similar. Yeah, it's all about John saying, I baptize you in water, and Jesus baptized you what? With the Holy Spirit. One more time, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul. All right, so this one here is the seventh time. That's it. So let's go there, 1 Corinthians 12, 13. Paul says, just as a body, though one, has many parts. He's talking about the body. He's talking about to this church in Corinth. But all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. Verse 13, here's the verse. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. That's it. 7 times. 7 times in the church have divided. People have got upset. People think that this side is better than the other side. I want to say this. Listen carefully. Right now, if you hold a different view to me and Sun Life Church, it's okay. It's okay. This is not a major doctrine. We don't want this to be a major. This is a secondary minor doctrine. So we major in the major and we minor in the minor. All right. If you're like, oh, Pastor Ben, you got it all wrong. You know what? I don't believe in this. That's okay. We can be friends. We can still be Sun Lifers. We can still do gospel work together because this is not a major doctrine. But then if you really agree with me, yeah, Pastor Ben, preach it. I knew it. I was right. I'm on the winning team. Don't have that attitude. Because I could be wrong. I don't think I am. I could be wrong. Sorry, Jesus. That's a bit of arrogance and pride there. I'm so sorry. But you know what I mean? So we don't want to divide the church or get upset. And that's, I'm not coming back next week until you change your theology and doctrine. Please don't. We're on the same team. You know, we're the same team. It's Team Jesus. Amen? Yeah, there are some midfielders and there's some backs and there's some attackers. We're in the same team. If you believe like me, we're the forwards kicking goals. If you don't believe like me, you're on the bench. But that's okay. We're in the same team. That's a joke. I'm only mucking around. I'm only joking. Because I have a lot of Pentecostal friends, and there are elders at this church who are Pentecostal. I have lots of connection with Pentecostal friends. The Pentecostal church loves Sun Life Church. I get invited to all the conferences. At a national level, at a state level, I'm so blessed to know of many Pentecostal brothers and sisters. We're in the same team, just because we're theologically deep. We're in the same team. Let's just stop there. I'm only playing around. It's okay. So here's the difference. Listen carefully. Here's the difference here. Listen carefully. The Pentecostal and charismatic view sees this verse, which is the next verse, which is this verse here, as being the Holy Spirit baptizes us, and the other 6 verses, Jesus baptizes us. That's the only difference. It's an interpretation. So Pentecostals and Charismatics will say, this means here that when you receive the Lord, the Holy Spirit baptizes you into faith, into the church, and then you wait for another moment down the track where Jesus baptizes you, and that's your second blessing. Do you understand that? So a Pentecostal would say, wait a minute, there's the word by, baptism by, there it is. And that's the reason why, that's the first blessing, that's the first baptism. And then maybe a week, maybe a month, maybe a year, Jesus baptizes you with the Holy Spirit, and that's the second baptism. That's the one that is different. Can you see that? So let me quote you Horton, let me quote you a Pentecostal theologian. All right, Harold Horton says this, the baptism in 1 Corinthians 12, is thus very definitely by the Holy Spirit. See? It's by the Holy Spirit. Into the body of Christ and is therefore distinct, different to the baptism by Jesus. Can you see that? So Pentecostals will say there are 2 types of baptism. The first one and the second one. The first one, Holy Spirit. The second one, Jesus. Therefore, if you haven't received the second blessing yet, you haven't been baptized by Jesus. Which is fine. Fair enough. Okay? And what they usually say is that to know whether you receive the second blessing, where you've been baptized by Jesus, you've got to have evidence. And the evidence is speaking in tongues. That's how it is. So if you speak in tongues, that wonderful prayer language. And by the way, if you're like you're very new to church and you're going, what is tongues? Oh my goodness, did he say tongues? Is that like, is that French tongues kissing? No. It's just a prayer language. It's just a prayer language, right? It's a prayer language. It's how you pray to God. In fact, when you pray in tongues, you have no idea what you're praying. The person next to you, if they can't interpret, they have no idea what you're praying. It's a beautiful prayer language that God gives you so you can pray to Him and praise Him. Okay. So a Pentecostal would say, how do you know if you've been baptized the second time? Well, you speak in tongues. Okay, let me just bring you some quotes. J.R. Williams says this, Pentecostal views baptism in the Holy Spirit as an experience that presupposes conversion. In other words, after you receive Jesus into your life, that's conversion. Your heart has been regenerated. You've turned away from your sins. You place your trust in Jesus. You begin to follow Him. You're given the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that's conversion. Afterwards, right, you have the baptism in the Spirit being both distinct from and subsequent to salvation. They're saying that it's an event after. You may receive Jesus into your life, which is fine. You've got to wait later on until you receive a second baptism. And then this is primarily exhibited through speaking in tongues. That's how it is. And if you agree with that view, that's okay. Okay? Now, my friends, the ACC, which is the Australian Christian Churches, the AOG, this is on their website. I went to the website. I kind of copy and paste. It says this, we believe that the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I just want to say, oh, my Pentecostal brothers, I love you. I'm not having fun at you. I seriously mean that. But this is what you've got on your website, right? We believe the Holy Spirit is the bestowing of the believer with power. Amen. To be an effective witness for Christ. Amen. We experience this experience is distinct from, which means different, and subsequent later on to new birth. New birth means conversion, means, you know, salvation. Okay. Is received by faith and is accompanied by the manifestation of speaking in tongues, as the Spirit gives utterance as the initial evidence. There it is. I mean, that's okay. So in other words, the Pentecostal charismatic view is that you've got to wait for a second blessing, a second baptism, and the sign where you have that is you speak in tongues. Very, very clear. And so you ask yourself the question, well, where did I come to the conclusion that I've got to speak in tongues? Well, that's because if you read the book of Acts, in the book of Acts, there are several chapters, for example, chapter 2, chapter 8, chapter 10, chapter 19, there are a recording of a pattern. Holy Spirit comes upon you and you speak in tongues and you prophesy. So the Pentecostal will say, there it is in the book of Acts. We can see it right there. Okay? And that's fine. Okay. Any questions? We kind of got that? Young people, you kind of got that? Fantastic. Not hard, right? Charismatic, Pentecostal, you get salvation, you receive the Lord, and later on, there's a second blessing, a baptism with Christ, by Christ, with the Spirit, and you speak in tongues. Now, here's the evangelical reformed position. This is the position that I hold to, is that baptism in the Holy Spirit takes place at conversion. So when you receive Jesus into your life, when you accept the Lord, and you say, I'm a wicked person, and you repent, and you turn to Jesus, and you say, Jesus, take me, I need you as my Lord and Savior. At that point in time, you're given the Holy Spirit, you're completely covered with the Holy Spirit, you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, and you are baptized in Christ, right, and into the church. For us who are Reformed evangelicals, we hold the position that there is no need for a second experience. It is the initial experience, and that's it. So Reformed theologians would read 1 Corinthians 12 as simply being, it's right there. Paul is not deviating from the six verses. It's the same. It's the same. He just says, look, it's right there. You're baptized in Christ, into the body, at your conversion. There's no need for speaking in tongues. There's no need for waiting for something. That's it. That's the position at Sun Life Church. Gordon Fee, who happens to be a Pentecostal theologian, check this out. Gordon Fee, who happens to be a Pentecostal theologian, he would say this. Grammatically, the reference is the same. He's saying, you know, 1 Corinthians 12 is the same to the other passages in the Bible, and it was referring to the experience of conversion. So Fee would say, I'm Pentecostal, but by the way, I know my Greek, I know my Bible, 1 Corinthians 12 is the same as the other six verses, and it happens at conversion. If you place your trust in Jesus, that moment you receive the Holy Spirit in His fullness, you are baptized with Him. For some people, you might have this wonderful feeling. You may speak in tongues. You may prophesy. You may jump and dance. Or maybe it's just a deep sense of peace, that you feel so loved, that the Father in heaven loves you so much. You know that you have been saved by the grace of God. You know that your sins are wiped clean. You know that you're part of His family. You belong to the church. You just feel it. It's different with everyone. And that's the position that I hold. And Paul clearly says that in Romans 8, 9. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. Paul says, if you love Christ, if you receive Him, the Spirit of Christ is in you. That's your baptism. And in your heart, you know that there is a God in heaven who loves you, a Father in heaven. You cry out, Daddy, Abba, Father. In fact, in Romans 8, verses 14 and 16, Paul says this, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, Billy Graham, the late Billy Graham, would say that the normal pattern for the believer is that when you receive Jesus, you are baptized with His Spirit. Now, I want to say this here. Those four verses in the book of Acts, I'll come back to that later on. I want to say this. If someone comes to you and say, hey, have you been baptized with the Holy Ghost or with the Holy Spirit? I want you to say this. Yes, I have. If you love Jesus, yes, I have. And you tell them how. I have, because on that day I remember as I was hearing the gospel message, or as I was reading the Bible, or as I heard the pastor preach, I realized that I was so far from God. I realized that I was a wretch. I realized I was dead in my sin. I realized that I need saving. I realized that all the bad things I had done, and Jesus was the only solution to my problem. So I asked Him to be my Lord, and I accepted Him as my Savior. And I repented from my sin, and on that day I welcomed the Holy Spirit, and He lives in me, and today I belong to the family of God. That's your spirit baptism. That's your answer. Unfortunately, we live in a world where certain denomination, we've kind of got a bit carried away, and we made it this whole supernatural mystic, oh, you've got to speak in tongues, you've got to do this, and you've got to do that. And what happens with that is that you begin to divide the church, because you have one group who says, well, am I there yet? I haven't received that second baptism. What must I do? What's wrong with me? I don't even speak in tongues. I'm not there yet. And sadly, what happens, I know of stories where young people feel that they need to speak in tongues, so they just say something so that the pastor can move on to the next person. It is so dangerous. It is so wrong. It's unbiblical. That divides the church. It makes you feel that I'm an inferior Christian, that I'm not there yet. I need to do something so that God would baptize me with His Spirit because I can't speak in tongues. Let me say this. If you know your Bible, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in the Greek, it's very clear, but in the English, it's also clear. Paul makes it 100% clear that the speaking of tongues is a gift from God. And He gives it to people according to His Spirit, which means some of us have that gift, some of us do not have the gift. It's okay. And Paul would say this, if you speak in tongues, good on you. If you prophesy, good on you. But you know what's best? Love. That's far better. Have the gift of love. Have the gift where you would love someone who you realize that no one loves them, but you would love them. You would stand in the gap between God and them. So if you don't speak in tongues at Sun Life Church, it is okay. Long for it. Paul says, yeah, I want you to long for it, pray for it, and ask God to give you that gift. And if you get it, great. But if you get it, it doesn't mean you're better than someone else. Do you understand that? It doesn't mean that, yeah, I've been baptized now and I'm good and I'm a spiritual, mature Christian. No. It means that God was so kind to you, He gave you the gift of tongues. But if you haven't got it, it's okay. Because you've received the Spirit in His fullness, you've been baptized with Him at your conversion. And that's the reform, that's the evangelical position. I do not want to hear in this church. And I say this with humility. I do not want to hear in this church where we are separating spirituality based on God's gift. Just because someone has a certain gift, it doesn't mean that God loves them more and God favors them more. Because I know the Bible says that God, there's no partiality. He loves you and I all the same, whether you're on stage or off stage, whether you're doing kids or welcome. It doesn't matter. God is our Father. We are equal. All right? So just because you possess a certain gift, whether it's discernment or whether it's prophecy or with word and knowledge, don't use it to your advantage as if it's a belt saying, look how good I am. Be humble and say, well, God, you would entrust me with that? I want to use that with humility to serve the body. So that's the difference right there. So what about those verses in the Bible where in the book of Acts there seems to be tongues and prophecy? Well, should we go there? Get a bit deeper? Are you all right?
Yeah.
Let's have a quick look at those verses there. Verse Acts 2, here we go. All of them, the them here are the disciples. They're in the upper room. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak in other tongues or languages. And by the way, the word tongue is not an accurate translation of the word glossia in the Greek. It's actually languages, okay? They spoke in other languages. I don't know why the translator used tongues, but unfortunately we're stuck with that for a long time. Okay. Acts chapter 2, listen carefully. I don't want to lose anyone here. This is very important. Because if I lose you now, you have to listen to me again online. Gee, that's time that you could be doing something else, right? Listen to me once now. So in chapter 2, the disciples, they're in Jerusalem. They're Jews, right? And they received the Holy Spirit and they began to speak in tongues. Chapter 8, if you know chapter 8, Philip, he takes the good news down to Samaria. Is that right? And he shares the good news to the Samaritans. They received the Lord. They've been baptized with Jesus. And then Peter and John comes in, lays hand. Look at this. And they receive the Holy Spirit. And there's something crazy down in Samaria. Can you see that? Two chapters after that, in chapter 10, Peter, he goes to Caesarea and he sees a Gentile by the name of Cornelius. Do you remember that one? And Cornelius, he's a Gentile. So he's not a Jew. He's a Gentile. And he begins to receive the Holy Spirit. And the whole family there, they're in tongues and they're praising God. At chapter 19, which I didn't have because that's a long one. But now they're in Ephesus. And it's the disciples of John the Baptist. And they also receive the Spirit. And they begin to praise God, prophesy, speak in tongues. So Pentecost would say, there it is right there. There's the pattern. Drop the mic. They walk off the stage. I would say, wait a minute. Pick up the mic. Let me explain. What we need to understand is this, is that the events of Acts 2, 8, 10, 19 are very unique events. Very unique. I believe that they're not patterns of the Christians today. They're not the patterns of Christians today. Here's my reason. Whether you agree or disagree, it's up to you. We need to understand is that in the book of Acts, that period there was a very unique time because it was the period between the old covenant going out and the new covenant coming in. Remember, Joel prophesied the Spirit of God will fall upon the people. Jesus said, go to Jerusalem, all right, the Spirit's going to come upon you. This was the time in history where the Spirit of God would come onto the people in His fullness permanently. Remember? So in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, Spirit of God would come, do the work and then leave. Remember? In the New Testament, Spirit of God comes and He stays permanently. He cannot leave you. He will not leave you. So right here in the book of Acts, we have this period where we have the Old Testament, Old Covenant leaving, New Testament, New Covenant entering. It's a very unique time. It will never ever happen again. And if it's unique, we have to ask ourselves the question, is that the norm for us today? No, it's not. Here's another thing here. If you look carefully, the first Pentecost moment was in Jerusalem, in the upper room with the Jews. And the same thing kind of took place in Samaria in chapter 8 for the Samaritan. And the same thing kind of took place in chapter 10 for the Gentiles. Jesus said that in Acts 1:8. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes and you'll be my witness. Where? In Jerusalem. There's an outpouring in Jerusalem. And then where? In Samaria. And where again? Into the ends of the earth, which is the Gentile. It seems like it was the Pentecost experience, different location for different ethnic group, repeated over and over again. First time, Jews in Jerusalem. Second time, Samaritan in Samaria. Third time and fourth time in Caesarea and Ephesus for the Gentiles. You see that? It is such a unique time in history that we should never say, well, that's the normative. Because it's in the Bible. If I receive the Holy Spirit, I speak in tongues. I feel that is a poor argument. I look at the book of Acts and I realize this is such a unique time in history that this is not repeated again, and that these people, when they received the Spirit for the first time, God did something special. You will receive the Holy Spirit in your baptism, and some of you will speak in tongues, some of you will prophesy, but some of you will not. Acts is not normative. So then you ask me, Pastor Ben, then how should I understand Acts? How should I understand chapter 2 and chapter 8, chapter 10, chapter 19? Here is how. Listen carefully. This is the conclusion that reformers will go to. Is that the events of Acts is not the baptism, but the filling of the Holy Spirit. What we notice here in Acts is that these people were filled with the Holy Spirit, and then God used them to do mighty works. That's what we notice here. If we go back to Acts 2:8, you notice the word there was filled. It wasn't baptized. I choose to read Acts as being when the Spirit came, they were filled with the Spirit and they began to speak boldly, prophesy, serve, love, give the money away, etc., etc. And the thing I want to teach you is this, is that when we are filled with the Spirit of God, let's put baptism aside because that's already done. When you're filled with the Spirit of God, there is a life of love. There's unity and fellowship. There's an ongoing desire to worship, to serve one another. You want to use your gift to bless the body of Christ, and there's power for witness. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you notice that there's something supernatural. And God does that. We see that throughout the whole book of Acts. Every time they were filled with the Spirit, they did something supernatural. Here's the difference here between baptism and filled. Baptism happens once. Filling happens many times. Let me say that again. Baptism happens once, because in the Bible, there's nowhere in the Bible where someone is baptized with the Spirit twice. Did you know that? But filling happens multiple times. Yeah. It's ongoing. Yeah. That's the call. That's the normative right there. It happens over and over and over again. Let me prove this to you. You don't believe me, right? I'll prove you. The disciples, right? In Acts 2:4, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak in tongues and they went out and they preached the word of God boldly. That's in chapter 2. Two chapters after that, the disciples, same guys, they prayed, right? And the place they were meeting, shaken. And they were all filled with the Spirit and they spoke boldly God's word. You see that? The same people filled twice. One baptism, many feelings. Paul, the Apostle Paul, same thing. If you know your Bible, in Acts chapter 9, Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit. Four chapters later, in Acts 13, Paul was also filled with the Holy Spirit. Multiple times. One baptism, multiple feelings. We are called to be filled with the Holy Spirit multiple times in our existence. That's the difference right there. One baptism, many feelings. Here's another difference. It's a command from God. You know, baptism with the Spirit is not a command from God. There's no, you can prove it to me. There's nowhere in the Bible that says that you've got to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Baptism with the Holy Spirit is not a command. There's nowhere in the Bible that says you've got to be sealed with the Holy Spirit. There's nowhere in the Bible that says that you've got to have the Spirit indwell in you. Nowhere. But there are places in the Bible where it says you have to be filled with the Spirit. Here's the reason why. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the seal of the Holy Spirit, the baptism with the Spirit. You know what? That's God's work, not your work, not my work. We can't do anything about that. That's the grace of God. When you become a follower of Christ, it's because God's grace in saving you, drawing you to Him, and He gives you the Holy Spirit. That's God's work, not your work. But being filled with the Spirit, that's where you come in. It's a command. I'll show it to you. Ephesians 5, 18. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. That's a command right there. That is a clear command that you've got to be filled with the Spirit. Do you know that you and I, we have to be filled with the Spirit? We have the Holy Spirit in us. He has this wonderful presence in your life and my life. But the question is this, does He have us? Does He have you? Does He have me? And when you give yourself over to Him, that's when you begin to be filled with His Spirit. It is so sad that we can be baptized with the Holy Spirit, have the Spirit of God dwell in us, and yet not be filled with the Spirit of God. Do you know that? That is so sad. It is so sad that there are Christians who live a life where there's no power to witness. There's no joy in suffering. There is no use of spiritual gift to bless the body of Christ. There is no service towards others. There's no passion in worship. Is that you this morning? I don't know. You know, we can be baptized with the Spirit years ago, and He lives in us. But we cannot remember the last time we were filled with the Spirit. It's not like the Spirit leaks, you know. No. When God gives, He gives His entirety. His Spirit's in you. But the question is, does He have you? And so we can be a Christian, right, and receive the Spirit of God, be baptized with the Spirit, but we have not experienced the filling of God's Spirit. So our life is very weak, and there's no power, and there's no desire to worship, and there's no joy to serve, and we cannot remember the last time we cried because God was doing something special in our midst. Are you filled with the Spirit? Sun Life Church, as your pastor, are you filled with the Spirit of God right now, or are you filled with something else? You know, this body of ours, God has created to be filled with something. Is it the Holy Spirit? I remember when I was much younger, in my uni days, 20 plus years ago. Oh dear, I remember that day so clear. I had these little teeth coming out, wisdom teeth. Oh my goodness, so painful. And I went to see a dentist, and the dentist says, "We've got to remove those wisdom teeth too." I'm like, "Yeah, sure, no worries." I was young, I was invincible. Bring it on. Because yeah, we've realized that it's partially impacted. So for those dentists, it's going on a right angle. Because we've got to remove those, and we might have to lose the one that's kind of pressing against. And I'm like, "Yeah, whatever, just remove them all, you have to. It's okay." I had 3 teeth removed that day. No problem, no pain. Anesthetic worked the treat. Amazing. That was in the morning. I thought, okay, I'll go to uni in the afternoon just to attend my lectures. I think it was a maths lecture. I'm sitting in the maths lecture and I began to cry. There was tears coming down my cheeks. The guys next to me thought, gee, Ben's getting emotional. It was a maths lecture. Geometry, topology, wow, this guy's getting very emotional. I had to leave the lecture theatre. I started crying. I was in the fetal position because I was in pain. The anesthetic wore out. I was in such pain. I was filled with pain. And because I was filled with pain, I lost control and I started crying. And I remember in the car park of UWA crying in the fetal because I've never felt that pain before. When you're filled with something, something happens. Yeah. I remember my lovely wife, she's not here. I can say this because she's doing kids' church. 25 years ago, she met me for the first time. She saw me at a young adults event. She laid eyes on me and she was filled with love. Now you guys can edit that part off the sermon because I might be sleeping in the studio for the rest of the week. She was filled with love and then she kind of fell over and stumbled and I don't know what happened. You know, we are created to be filled with something. For some of us, we are filled with rage and anger. Bitterness. And what happens when you're filled with something, it takes control of you. Just like how in Ephesians 5, Paul says, don't be filled with wine or alcohol. For some of you, when you drink too much, what happens is that you now become intoxicated. And then what happens? You lose control because the alcohol's got control of you. You fill yourself with rage and anger, you lose your calm. Fill yourself with an experienced dentist, you're in pain. You fill yourself with the Holy Spirit, you lose control. He takes over. He begins to control you in ways you've never been controlled before. You find yourself praising in tongues that you'd never praised before. I'm encouraging that at Sun Life Church. I'm Reformed Charismatic. Bring it on. But not too loud. Filled with the Holy Spirit, you find yourself serving with such energy. You find yourself witnessing the gospel with such boldness. You're not afraid. You're not intimidated what they say about you. You're just saying things and there's power and there's boldness. You find yourself forgiving people that you know you could not forgive. Because when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're no longer in control. He's in control. And it begins to do something where you go, wow, I cannot believe that took place. We are commanded to be filled with the Spirit of God. We're not commanded to be baptized because that's the work of God. But your work and my work is we have to live a life where we are filled with the Spirit of God. And I stopped my sermon right there. You're saying, wait, what do you mean, Pastor? You haven't taught us how. How? I will next week. Because if I did, it would be such a long sermon. So if you want to come back next week, I'll give you seven steps how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Seven steps next week. Is that all right? You love it how I've kind of just kept you hanging there? And for those you want to invite your friends to come and find out how can I be filled with the Spirit in these seven steps, let them watch this sermon and know there's a difference with baptism and filling, that one is not a command, one is, one happens once, one happens multiple times. Next week, I want to give you seven practical steps to be filled with the Spirit. Is that okay? I know you don't like me, but it's a good trick to get you back. Shall I pray for you? God, we love that we can just enjoy your word.